Last 2 days about the story of Korach v'Adasso, and obviously at the root of all these issues that happen in our parsha is the lesson of how much we need to stay away from machlokas, from controversy, and from all kinds of things that lead to what happened in our parsha. So Rashi writes in the beginning of this week's parsha, "Parsha zu yafa nidreshes," that this parsha is very beautifully elucidated on. And seemingly the simple understanding of what Rashi means is that if you look in the Medrash, you will see that there's a lot more details to the story than what's very simply stated in the Psukim themselves. But the Prima Gadim writes, obviously, it's not the simple pshat in Rashi, but it's just a very beautiful insight that he says, what does it mean, Parsha Zu Yafa Nidreshes? Does Rashi mean to say that every other Parsha is not elucidated upon very beautifully as well in the Medrash? So what does he mean, Parsha Zu Yafa Nidreshes? Writes the Prima Gadim, that the job of a rabbi is to speak about something that is relevant to the parsha and relevant to the lives of the people. If you're a good rabbi, you know how to do that. If you're not such a good rabbi, you can't figure out how to do that, and therefore you don't really deserve to have the job. Well, Rashi says, Parsha zu yafa nidreshes. If the rabbi chooses to speak about the story of Korach v'Adasso any Shabbos of the year, it's always a good choice. Why? Because machlokes is always something that's relevant to every community at all times, and it's always an issue that should be spoken about as much as possible. So therefore, the Prima Gadim writes, obviously it's not the real pshat in Rashi, but he says that to speak about machlokas is something that we need to make time to do. Certainly when we read the Parsha of Korach, it's a very appropriate time to remind ourselves of the horrible outcome that can be from a machlokas, how disastrous the consequences can be. So the Yalkut Shimoni writes in our Parsha, Kasha hi ha-machlokas kedor ha-mabul. Machlokas is as bad as the dor ha-mabul. Really, it's as destructive as the Dor HaMabul? The Dor HaMabul deserved for the whole world to be destroyed. How can it be that Machlokas is in any way similar to the story of the Dor HaMabul? Well, says the Medrash, Ksiv Hasam, it says in the Torah's description of the generation of the Mabul, Hema HaGiborim Asher Me'olam Anshei Hashem. That's the way they're referred to. Uksiv Hacha, and in our Parsha it says, when introducing the story of Korach v'Adasso, they are referred to as Nesiei Eda Kriyei Moed Anshei Shame. And therefore, says the Medrash, because the Torah gives the same title to both the members of the Dor HaMabul as well as the members of Korach v'Adasso, therefore we assume that there's some way a similarity between the two, and the same way we all simply understand that the Dor HaMabul was a tremendous catastrophe, it was a tremendous disaster, so too we should understand that Machlokas, whenever one incites a Machlokas, it is also a recipe for a disaster. So much so that the Medrash says, Gadol HaShalom Usnua HaMachlokas. Machlokas is considered to be the most hated thing in the eyes of God Himself. So the Medrash actually tells us in Parshas Bereishis, why is it that on every day of the creation of the world it says, Ki Tov, the Ribono Shel Olam looked at the beautiful creation, and he saw that everything that he created was beautiful. It was wonderful, exactly how he wanted it to be. However, when it comes to Yom HaSheni, when it comes to the second day of creation, we don't find that God says that it was Ki Tov. We don't find that God describes that creation as being something good. Why is that? Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason why is because on Yom Sheni, God also created Gehenim. He created the place where all of us are going to be punished. Okay, so has to be the case. Every parent has to punish their children in order to make sure they stay on the right path. But as much as God had to do that, it wasn't something that he can refer to as keto. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Chanina says, no, that's not why. The reason why on Yom Sheni, why on the second day of creation it does not say Ki Tov, is because Shabo Nivras HaMachlokes, because on that day of creation is when Machlokes came into being. Shenemar, because we are told, Vihi Mavdil Bein Mayim L'Mayim, on the second day of creation, God separated something. It used to be everything was together, the whole world was just one conglomerate, and now God separated something and made them apart from one another. And therefore, says the Medrash, you learn from here, that is the reason why God called that day of creation something that is not Tov. Because when things are separated, when things are in a state of machlokes, that is when we assume that is not a good situation. Says the Medrash, machlokes, shehi l'tikuna shel olam uli yushuvo. Ein baki Tov, writes the Medrash, certainly when you have something like this, where God had to separate the waters of the world, otherwise we would have not been able to survive in the world. We would have all drowned. So it was for the advancement, for the betterment of the world. And yet, God says, I cannot call that Tov, because you're splitting something apart, because there is Pirud, because there's Machlokes. So too, says the Medrash, certainly, when you have Machlokes, Shehila, Erbuvo, when somebody stirs up a Machlokes just for the sake of being angry at somebody else or for the sake of destroying somebody else's life or someone else's career, certainly said Remedrish Halachas Kama Vakama, that one has to be so careful in order that they should not be a part of that. The Medrash writes as well, Bo rei kama kasha machlokes. Try and understand how bad machlokes it is. Shekola ozer b'machlokes. Anyone who gets involved in any part of the machlokes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'abed ezichro. Not just that the person will be punished, not only that they will be destroyed, not only that God will give them whatever they deserve for doing what they did, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'abed ezichro. God will make that person forgotten. Shekach ksiv. Because it says in our parsha by Korach va'adaso, ve'esh yatzah me'esh Hashem, there was a fire that came down from heaven, va'tochal es ha'chamishim u'masayim ish, and it ate up, it totally consumed, it devoured all the members of the tribe of Korach who were involved in this issue with Moshe Rabbeinu. Not only that, writes the Medrash, Amar Abrachia, kama kasha machlokas, try and understand, try to appreciate how horrible it is in the eyes of God when somebody gets involved in a machlokas. Shabezdin shamaila in konsin elami ben chav shana v'maila. Normally we assume that for certain averis, this is a very controversial point, we spoke about it in the past, but normally we assume that a person is not going to be punished for certain things until they're 20 years old. Aye, what do you mean? Already at 13, I'm already considered a gadol, I'm already considered a responsible adult. So that's a question that the Chacham Tzvi asks. It's dealt with in the poskim. However, the Medrash writes, one generally is not really held accountable and punished until the age of 20. However, when it comes to Korach, when it comes to the story in our parsha, we find that afilu tinoka shel ben yoma nisrafu v'nivlu b'sheol tachtios. Those families that were involved in the machlokas, even those who had little children, even those who really should not been have held responsible or accountable for what was done, still, says the Medrash, they got swallowed up along with Korach v'Adasa, because that's what happens when you're involved in a machlokas. And you'll ask, how can that be? Doesn't sound justified, it doesn't sound fair. But says the Medrash, this is the reality, this is what happens, because machlokas is considered to be something that is such a negative attribute, and it causes such a devastating consequence, says the Medrash, one has to be careful to stay very far away. Reb Chaim Palagi, one of the great, great Gedolim in the 1700s, into the 1800s, writes in one of his svarim, Ani HaGever, he says, I have had a lot of life experience. Ani HaGever Rasa Einai, my eyes have seen throughout my life experience. Shemiyom She'amadati Al Daiti, that from the time that I was an adult and I began to understand the way communities work and the way friendships work. Ki kol ish ve'isha mishpacha u'mishpacha, medina u'medina ve'ir ve'ir, that every community, every family, every couple, every relationship in which it ended up being beinehem a machlokes, in which it ended up for whatever reason, that there was a machlokes, that there was some family dispute, that the people weren't able to get along, that the couple wasn't able to talk to each other, that the community was in an uproar. Anything like that, he says, lo yatsu nikiim habeis kitos. From my life experience, I saw and I experienced that never did both sides walk away unscathed. Never. It's never the case. When people get involved in a machlokas, they get so worked up, everybody gets so angry, everybody's so agitated, it ends up eating them up. And says Reb Chaim Palagi, v'nilku bein begufan, bein b'mamonan rachmana litzlan. He says, I saw that not only did they lose money over it because they were trying to pay in order to destroy the other side, and this one was trying to destroy this side, but he said it eats a person up emotionally, and it takes away so much of the positive energy that a person has the ability to express throughout life and do proactive things and do creative activities. Says Reb Chaim Palagi, machlokas has eaten people up alive, and I've seen it, he writes, when you have medina u'medina, when you have two shuls fighting against each other, when you have family members fighting against each other, when you have all kinds of scenarios, never does it end up being something positive, and always the two parties are the ones that lose out. The Chafetz Chaim quotes from an Igeres HaMusar, that is a letter that the Rambam wrote to his son. I don't know where it's found, but I saw it in the Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim, where the Rambam writes the following, Al tishaktsu es nafshoseichem b'machlokas. Don't make yourself abhorrent by getting involved in a machlokas. Hamechale guf v'nefesh umamon. Because we know that when one gets involved in such a way of life, it eats up a guf, a nefesh, and mamon. It eats up physically your body. It is something that can emotionally destroy a person, and it can take away your assets. Uman nishar od, what will be left? Ra'isi lebanim shehishchiru, says the Rambam, I saw that children became dark, which means they became depressed. Upachos nifchasu, umishpachos nisifru, visarim nifsadu. I saw the most intelligent people, I saw the highest people of society. I saw every kind of individual who got completely destroyed because they involved themselves in these issues in life. V'nichbadim nekalu v'nizbazu, and I saw that the most honorable people ended up becoming disgraced, all because of Sibas HaMachlokas. And says the Rambam, Nevi'im nivu v'chachamim chachmu, v'philosophim chapsu. We know that the philosophers spoke about it, and the Nevi'im already warned us, and the Torah itself says so much about it. Al-Raz HaMachlokas, and still says the Rambam, with all that, with all the warnings that the Midrashim and the Chachamim and the Nevi'im and the philosophers tell us about how you have to stay away from Machlokas, still says the Rambam, it doesn't even scratch the surface of how bad Machlokas actually is, because anyone who's ever lived through it, anyone who ever really had the experience of being very bitterly involved in a Machlokas understands how negative the consequences are, and so often they look at themselves and say, I wish I just never got involved in this mess in the first place. They regret it because it takes away so much of what they can positively do throughout their lives. The Bnei Yisrael writes in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe. So he says, what does it mean in our parasha when it says Bnei Korach lo mesu, that the children of Korach never died? What do you mean? Have you ever walked down the street and bumped into the children of Korach? Have you ever gone to any country in the world where somebody has identified themselves as the children of Korach? So what does it mean? Explains the Kotzker Rebbe what it means. Bnei Korach lo mesu is that even though physically the children of Korach died, but the influence of Korach v'Adaso has never died down, has never gone away, because Machlokas is something that was created in this world. The Chasam Sofer writes about it, how God has created all kinds of ways of life for people. Machlokas is something that at some times in life is a good thing, and therefore God created it. It's a way, it's a midah in the world, but when it's used in a negative way, when it's used to be divisive, when it's used to destroy that which is created, then writes the Kotzker Rebbe, this is what it means, b'nei Korach lo mesu. The influence of Korach v'Adaso is still alive, it's operational, it's here, and unfortunately it is still plaguing so many wonderful people. The Chafetz Chaim writes in a very beautiful letter, and this is quoted in a sefer where they have a collection of letters from the Chafetz Chaim. I don't have enough time to go through everything, but the Chafetz Chaim writes the following. Karav hadavar me'od, says the Chafetz Chaim, obviously machlokas in every generation is something that is destructive. It is something that is reprehensible in the eyes of God. However, karav hadavar me'od, says the Chafetz Chaim, it seems to me, I have the feeling, shezmanenu hu ikvasa de Mashiach. He says, it seems to me that we are now living in the times of ikvasa de Mashiach. And if the Chafetz Chaim wrote this 100 years ago, certainly today we feel pa'amei ha-Mashiach even more. We feel the heartbeat of Mashiach at the doorstep. We're on the precipice. We're on the cusp of the days of Mashiach. And yet, says the Chafetz Chaim, because this is the case, because I believe this, he says, obviously one has to be more observant in the way they keep mitzvahs, in the way they learn Torah. All of those are obvious. However, he says, we also have to be careful. Laharbo shalom b'Yisrael. We also have to be careful that we are marbe shalom, that we don't engage in machlokas. Why? Because he says it's at times like this that the Satan is just waiting to try and get us involved, embroiled in a machlokas in order to be merachek eis hageula. Says the Chafetz Chaim, this is the most easy way for the Satan to get involved. It's so easy to pick a fight with somebody else. It's so easy to make an issue with a community, to make a problem with a school, to make a problem with an administration, with something. And therefore, writes the Chafetz Chaim, this is the time to be so much more vigilant, to be so much more careful, and to stay away from it. I saw once a story that the Imre Emes writes where he suggests that there was once he gives a mashal, and with this we'll close for Mincha. He says there was once a father-in-law who was a very wealthy individual, and he had his daughters marry two very special young men. Problem was, even though he was supporting both of them, and they were both living very nearby in the neighborhood, he used to invite them both over for dinner every night. He wanted to provide for both of them. The problem was, one son-in-law was a vegetarian, so he only ate dairy, and the other son-in-law had an allergic reaction to dairy, so he only used to eat meat. So every night, this father-in-law used to serve dinner on two separate tables. He used to have one family eating the dairy, one family eating the meat, and he felt so uncomfortable that he was never able to have the two sons-in-law sitting at the same table. It just so happened to be that after many, many years of this operation going on in the house, the father-in-law loses all of his money. And he's not even able to provide meat or dairy any longer. All he can give is just a simple potato baked in the oven, or he can give an onion. He didn't really have the ability to provide anything more. And he comes to dinner that night, and he's crying, and he looks at his son-in-law sitting on one table and the other son-in-law sitting on the other. He says, I don't understand. When I used to serve meat to you and dairy to you, I understood why you had to sit separately. But now, when all we're left with is just the scraps of potatoes and the little bit of onions that I was able to put together for both of your families, you can't even figure out how to sit on the same table. Now there's no reason for you to be separated anymore. Said the Imre Emes, it's true There were generations when the Balatanya used to fight with the Vilna Gaon, whatever it meant that they had to fight with each other. And there were generations when there were Jews who felt that it was appropriate for them to have a machlokas. That's because this one was eating dairy, he stood for something, and that one was eating meat, and he stood for something. But writes the Imer Emes, now that we're in a generation, where what do we have left anymore? All we have is our Avodas Hashem. What is it already? All we're left with is the scraps of potatoes and the little bit of onions that we're able to put together, the little bit of mitzvahs that we're able to present to God Himself, where we're not busy doing a million other things, says the Imre Emes. At a time like this, we don't even have the ability to sit at one table together, to eat our potatoes together, to eat all of those little onions together. That's all we can do to give Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just to sit at one table, just to be one with each other, to be one community. All these machloksim that used to be are irrelevant. So you can write a letter about how angry you are about the Neo Hasidus for anyone who's following this whole issue going on now. And you can argue back and say, no, that we should be learning Gemara and we shouldn't be learning Hasidus, and everyone's fighting and they're all Hashem Shamayim. But says the Yemer Emes, in a generation like ours, this is not what we should be fighting for. This is not what we should be fighting about. This should not be the cause of divisiveness in the community. This is something that all of us together have the opportunity to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and the little bit of the opportunity that we're all given in our generation, let's take advantage of that, says the Imre Emes. Let's at least serve the Ribono Shel Olam together, and let us give him the greatest Nachas Ruach that we possibly can do. Reb Hanani ben Akasha Omer.